There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. And thank you for the continued birthday wishes. Yeah, it says this one, Sims guy says, happy birthday. Keep up the great work. You add the song Land of Confusion to the playlist. Yeah, see, you got a bumper selection. Some of those bumper songs probably have been with us too long. Been running those, you know, like I talked about the last hour. I did launch the station on May 1st on purpose. I'd been working for about 6 months. While we were a music station, I was working about 6 months kind of creating this radio station and getting because it was just, you know, the morning show and then the just a couple specialty shows, and then it was syndicated during the day. So I put everything together on that and been getting what we call the imaging. That's where it says that your name and the music and all the stuff behind it, and put that through. And I could have launched it. I was finished in time. I could have launched it maybe a couple days earlier, or a couple days later. But yes, because I'm a smart aleck, I launched it on the high holy holiday for the communists, May 1st, May Day. I did that on purpose because, well, I was much younger then and more smart alecky back then. What? I was mid-30s? Yeah, I'm 50, yeah, mid-30s, something like that when I did that. So, some of that music's probably still in the mix from back then. So we probably have to have some purging of that going on. But now the nice thing is we got so many other people here with different tastes and different takes on things. We've just grown, that we have a whole mix of it. It's good stuff. All right. Without even further ado, I want you all to say hello to my friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com, who has given me some of those live updates I told you all about yesterday from Mobile City Council. Thanks for the updates, and thanks for the story that's online now.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, it was like watching a soap opera yesterday in there. And so I was texting you, and I was texting Jeff all the updates I could because I knew you were on air and he would want to know. And then after I'm done with all that, he said, you really should start tweeting your stuff so I don't have to retweet other reporters. And I was like, you know what? That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start using the Twitter, the X.
Are you on there now?
I'm on there. I have been for years, but I had a protected account, so like only if you followed me, you could see my tweets, and I had no idea that it was set to that. So now it's wide open. Anybody can follow, and I'm really trying to like grow my following on there now because I really... Oh, thanks for the follow. I got a follow from FM Talk. So, yeah, it's at Erica H. News. Or you can search Erica Thomas, but I'm going to start using that a little bit more. And I was just always so hesitant about it because I didn't feel like a ton of people paid attention to it, but I think
It's catching on. The social media stuff, trust me here. I know I'm your elder, but it's going to catch on. It's going to be this hot thing, and there may be a billionaire one day pay a lot of money for this thing called Twitter, and will change its name to X. It's going to follow with me.
Okay, I will jump in the DeLorean with you.
Nice throwback. So yesterday, I was the first hour of my show yesterday, I was playing audio that had been recorded in the pre-council meeting. Not normally would I go, you know, I listen to the city council meeting, so the listeners don't have to. I could tell them if there's anything relevant, but I listened to the pre-council meeting, and it was a slobber knocker before they even got into chambers there. And then this show started and you were down there and you were telling me it was pretty bouncy in there as well. You got a story about this. Of course, everybody knows by now the council voted to fire Chief Prine. I think makes sense. He wasn't coming back anyway. But there was another debate going on there as well.
Yeah, the other one was, do we do a council investigation? So yesterday, Mayor Sandy Stinson came out and he said, well, I'm sending all these materials to the AG's office. I'm going to request an investigation there on everything that happened. And he obviously thinks that's a better idea than the council funding their own investigation. But they did end up passing it. There was one that voted no, and that was Joel Daves, which he's leaving after this term, so he doesn't have a reason to care. You know, he said yesterday, I'm not getting bullied into voting for this council investigation. He obviously was not a fan of doing a separate investigation. He said it was just a waste of time and money, which I can appreciate that.
Yeah, he talked about that in the pre-council meeting as well, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was like, hey, if we found anything in this investigation, we'd have to kick it to the AG's office anyway because we don't have any enforcement mechanism with the council, so why don't we just cut out the middleman, you know,
right,
and do it that way?
There's no way they don't have prosecutorial, like, they can't do that. So he has a good point. But then every little detail of this resolution was just, and it's kind of the same that they did in the work session, the pre-council meeting, but every little detail was really, they paid a lot of attention to it. And I thought it was great on every part of every single council member to really be paying attention on this, and to really delve into what exactly, I mean, they were going over the difference between shall and may, and, you know, I mean, they were just really paying attention. So after the council meeting got started, it lasted a while. And then in the middle of it, right before they voted on these two resolutions, which was Prine being fired and then the investigation, they went into another committee of the whole meeting. And it was kind of the same thing that you saw in the work session. The same opinions, the same issues. But this time they really worked it out and they got an amendment on there. They took out a lot of the details about what exactly the scope of the investigation will be. They made the resolution actually more broad so that they can form a committee now and then figure out the details. Are we going to investigate this or this? Who is going to do the investigation? We want it to be third party. We need to make sure, you know, it's not someone that's going to be biased in the investigation like they believe may have happened before. Some people do. But most of the council members, you know, they agreed on that except for Joel Daves, who, frankly, my dear, does not give a thing.
Erica, part of this, too, you had the... There's several discussions, I think, orbiting around each other out there. The politics of this, the mayoral politics of this, people were saying, and if you heard the back and forth between Councilman Carroll yesterday in the pre-council meeting and Chief of Staff Lasky, or Public Safety Director Lasky, you heard this tension between those two and also between Councilman Carroll and City Attorney Ricardo Woods. Actually, at one point, he said, I won't vote for this, you know, if I don't have these questions answered or whatever. But it seems like there's some mayoral politics at play there, because I want to get into the fact that you asked, you know, kind of the what's next for Chief Prine, and you're going to land that plane here in a second, tell us what he told you. But do you think there's part that's an investigation, part of it is maybe politics going forward, setting up for the next mayoral cycle?
I find it very hard to believe that Chief Prine came up with this master plan for all of these things to fall into place just so he could run for mayor. It's not impossible. I mean, it's definitely not. But very hard to believe that somebody would give up a career and $18,000 a year for the rest of his natural life to be a mayor. You know,
right.
I just don't.
I was thinking more about members of the council as well that were, you know, it seems like there could be some further politics in play here, you know, playing the longer game.
Oh, I think definitely William Carroll has been playing that long-term game for a while. You know, I've heard rumors about him possibly running for mayor one day. And so when I'm watching these council meetings, I definitely see him standing up and taking a strong stance on things and kind of taking a leadership role. And that's possibly why, as far as the public safety director and the chief of staff issues, I asked Prine yesterday during a press conference, now that you're done, you're fired, can you say exactly who the problem was? Was it the chief of staff or the public safety director? And he, what he told me went all back to the chief of staff, which was about surrounding Project Thrive.
And what did he say about that?
Well, he just said, you know, there's just no way we have all this money going into this nonprofit. The chief of staff has all this control over the mayor's discretionary funds, and he's saying that he moved $10,000 of that money to this nonprofit organization. And this is a city nonprofit, so I don't know if it, just like he says, I don't know if anything was done wrong. I don't. This was city money. It's a city nonprofit. It's helping people in the city. It's a program they're wanting to use. So his only question was, is this a conflict of interest? And he said, you know, he doesn't know if it's criminal or not. He just said, certainly appears that there could be an impropriety, which is what he's been saying the whole time.
And speaking, speaking of the money out there, this came up in pre-council, maybe it came out in the council. I wasn't listening at that point. But this discussion of Echo Stop and ShotSpotter, this is the thing that Prine had talked about, you know, whether it was working or not. And they were saying, I guess, and from the other side, they're saying, well, it was not being utilized correctly by MPD. But now I'm hearing that that's over with. So that it wasn't working, we're not going to go forward with it. Did you hear that yesterday?
That's correct. Yes, that is what they're getting rid of that whole program.
Well, so if it was working, if it was working, it was this great thing, then why would they be getting rid of it?
Well, there's also arguments on why wasn't it working.
Right, I've heard that. Was it? And that's what I asked Mayor Stimson. I said, was the machine, for lack of a better word, was it working? And he said, yes, it was working. It was the implementation, which somebody on the text line brought some common sense into it and said, hey, if you buy a new product for your company and your staff can't, you know, the product's working, but your staff can't use it, then you get extra, you know, you come back in and have the person come in and show everybody how to use it properly.
Well, I think when you have the issues they've been having internally, you know, it's probably the least of their worries at this time. And who knows, it might come back. The new chief might say, hey, let's get this program going up again. It really could work for us. And maybe not. I just think that is such a minuscule part of what they're dealing with right now that they probably just want to put that to the side for now and not waste any taxpayer dollars on a program they can't use.
Right, but we had before. I guess that's just people going back and saying, hey, did we need to spend the money in the first place? So what comes of this? So if with your conversation with Chief Prine or now former Chief Prine, does he say he's going to for sure run a campaign? I mean, did he make the announcement that he's going to run a mayoral campaign? Like the signs are coming out?
He simply said maybe. You know, he said he never really thought about it before, but now maybe. And I think that he's just had a lot of support in that realm, vocal support. I don't know if there's the numbers are there, but I know there's been a lot of people very vocal about supporting him. But at 2:00 today, there's another piece coming out. It's more of the Mayor Stimson part of what's next for the police department, what's next for him.
I'm interested.
And he's definitely going to run, too. He's going to run in 2025 for sure, you know, unless something he out of his control happens, is what he said yesterday. But the mayor really, like I said last week, it's time to move on from this. It's time to rebuild public trust. He has a very, very big job right now, right in front of him. And he's going to just have to focus on the next step. And he's probably not going to worry about that mayoral campaign for a few months, at least until all of this gets settled. He still has to eventually have a new police chief.
Yeah. And you know, I second and third that, you know, it's to get to, I mean, everybody wants to get to the bottom of it. And hopefully we can do that at the same time that we're making sure that MPD is best equipped to keep us safe. I mean, this is not a, you know, I'm not a somebody in the peanut gallery here. I live here. This is my city.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm concerned. I want the best for those folks that are leading the city.
For sure. And this is a very large city. I mean, one of the largest cities in the state. So this isn't some podunk police department where they're just going to be like, oh, you can be police chief now and hope for the best. You know, this is a really big, big moment, whatever happens next will change the course of one of the largest cities in Alabama forever. It is already on a projected path, and that path will change with new leadership. And so I think also we have to look at Stimson's leadership and what he has, this big responsibility that he has, and see how he handles it. And hopefully he'll do a good job just for the people of Mobile.
For sure. Hey, can you hold on a second? We go to the news and come back. All right. Coming right back. More with Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Another one of the stories I want to talk about here. And pay attention if you're heading to the beach. Maybe not for us, but people not from around here. Important stuff. It's this time of year we talk about it, and we'll talk about it with Erica next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We just have just a few minutes left here, but I want to talk a little bit more with Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Erica, yesterday during the meeting, we do this quickly, as there were big protests going on in college campuses all around the country, a college student entered the Mobile City Council meeting when all this other stuff was going on to talk about Gaza?
Yes, there was a guy that came forward to speak during public comment, and he was speaking about, you know, how the police are terrible, basically. And then he went into talking about Palestine, and he was quickly told, you know, no, that has nothing to do with us locally. You can't talk about stuff like that. You can only talk about things that impact the city of Mobile directly and things that the council can impact directly. So before I knew it, I was sitting in the front row. Before I knew it, Lasky stood up and like motioned for the police to come get this fella. And I mean, it was quick. It was a quick response. I was very happy to be sitting behind Rob Lasky yesterday. I felt very safe right there. I mean, they hauled this guy out of there. And then after that, like a whole group, probably about 10 people in the garb, the head garb and all that, they left
the kafaya. Yeah, the kafaya, which just ponder this one.
It was actually just a kitchen towel with a quilt ring. I'm not kidding. That's what I saw somebody wearing.
Okay. Well, ponder this one until next time we talk. Isn't that cultural appropriation? If people are not supposed to culturally appropriate, but they are with the kafaya, I don't, you know. All right, before we run out of time, Rip Currents. It's something this audience is like, oh gosh, Sullivan again talking about Rip Currents. And I point out that everybody gets all, you know, spazzed out. There's sharks in the Gulf. And I ask, you know, where else are they supposed to be? But they don't worry about Rip Currents. And Rip Currents are what kill people around here.
Yeah, this is a really big deal, especially for Baldwin County EMA to get the word out. And Mobile County, I'm sure they also want to do this. Baldwin County has the Beach Safe campaign. They do the very important flag warning system. And we all know about this here, and people probably get tired of hearing it. But here's what. There are so many people that come not only from the state of Alabama, but the entire Southeast. They come down here for vacation. Even Indiana, you know, you always hear a lot of people from Indiana down here. I always meet somebody from Indiana. I don't know why, but They like to come down here, and they have no clue what a rip current is. They have no clue how to find one, how to identify one, what to do if they get stuck in it. And just like I would do, they panic. And that's why last year there were 3 confirmed deaths in Baldwin County and Mobile County. I think one was in Dauphin Island due to rip currents. And that's just confirmed. So that's not even all of them. There's certain criteria a drowning has to meet in order to be considered a rip current fatality. And there was 3 of them, which is way too many. One is too many.
Sure.
So the Fort Morgan Civic Association decided to come up with an idea to help Baldwin County EMA get the word out, because last year Baldwin County EMA held this big media gathering and said, we need to get the word out far and beyond. And also when people come stay here, they need to know. So they have the media in condos that you might rent. They'll show you what a rip current is. And now in Fort Morgan, people are putting up these huge signs warning people and spreading awareness about how important it is to know what a rip current is. And I always want to remind people, text at ALBEACHES to 888-777 when you come down, when you visit. And every day they'll send you whatever the beach conditions are, whether it's yellow, single red, or double red flag. And that way you'll know every single day. And as soon as you leave, you can text stop and you'll stop getting those warnings. But you need to know, because even with the moderate surf, with the yellow flag, there's still something out there. There's still currents out there you need to look out for.
Yeah, and people don't pay attention to the flags.
No.
You know, my argument's been they ought to put the marine life, just put a big shark flag up whenever we have rip currents and keep the people out of the water. Just tell them it's a shark and they'll stay out of the water.
Yeah, the marine life one is my favorite flag. It's purple, but it always warns you when there's like a lot of jellyfish too. And so all of those things are really important. Anybody coming down here needs to know. So if you have family that's coming down, let them know. Please text AL Beaches to 888-777. And you can find all that information on the Baldwin County EMA website and sign up for the beach conditions and the flag warning system. I mean, it's huge. And I felt like a little pool before on my feet when I was at the beach. And I'm telling you, I actually panicked and just like ran back up to the beach. Thankfully, I wasn't in deep water, but you don't have to be in deep water to get sucked in.
Being deep. Yeah, that other stuff. Erica, we're out of time. I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, thanks.
And remember, there's a John Mellencamp song called Pink Houses that'll tell you why you meet so many people from Indiana down here. But we'll play that.
I'll have to check that out.
All right.
And please remember 1819news.com at 2 p.m. for the latest story on Sandy Simpson.
There we go. Thanks.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. 343-0106 gets you through on the telephone and on the text line. Why don't y'all say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and let's talk inventory, man. It's been something at LCM lately.
Yeah, inventory has been good, but we've been busy. So when you're busy, your inventory starts to dwindle a little bit. So we've got a list of about 50 cars we're going to look at tomorrow, and hopefully we'll buy 10, 15, 20. We'll see. Of course, we'll talk about that again Friday, and everybody will know how many we've gotten. They'll be ready to go when we get there. So we're trying to keep a really good inventory for everybody. We've been covered up.
Okay, because you're going to look for those vehicles tomorrow. I don't know if it's too late to get in on this round, but something you've done for me, and I know thousands of other people, if we're looking for a specific car, truck, SUV, how do we go through that if we want to get you to headhunt for us?
The easiest way is to call us here at the office, and it's not too late. I mean, there's more vehicles there. We've just picked out a selection that we're going to, you know, to make sure we can get our hands on. But call the office, 251-375-0068. Let us know what you're looking for, colors you do like, don't like, equipment you need, and we'll keep our eyes out, and we'll text you or email you from where we're at.
Good stuff. Tell folks how to find you in person and online.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Once again, the number is 251-375-0068. Or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
All right. Good luck then. And bring back a lot of vehicles.
Hope to. Thank you, Sean.
There he goes. David McCrary from LCM Motor Cars. Good people, been around a long time with us as well. So many great folks like that. I mean, like I've said before, bought three vehicles and sold one of my vehicles to them and had my mother sell a vehicle to them, if that tells you anything, right? Good people. From the text line here, David's saying on the gambling vote, if the Senate votes again on the gambling bill, can they make sure no one's in the bathroom before they start voting? Here's the problem. Here's the problem is we're about to get a Diet Check brand version of gambling, I think, out of this. And I've said it before, I'm not not a person who gambles much. Buy some lottery tickets, sure. If I'm somewhere already there, I'll buy a lottery ticket. Gambling's not my, you know, not my vice, but I do believe in the right of referendum on this. But what is this? And Jeff's asked that too, fairly enough. Like, what is this? You know, and my problem with it is that it's a picking winners and losers limitation. Instead of saying, okay, we're going to change the, have a constitutional amendment, change the amendment, we're allowing gambling, and gambling will look like this. It'll be, you know, you'll have casinos, you'll have the sports betting, you'll have the whatever, all the things. I even have a crazy idea here. Number one, if we have a lottery, have it pay for prisons, not schools. And number two, maybe you actually have private lottery. Instead of having the state in the business of something that's really not the job of the state, license people, if they want to risk capital, buy it. You can make the expensive license to have a lottery license in the state, and then you pay back, you know, X number, whatever the excise tax is on it. You have to buy the license, and the same thing for the other casinos, and let the market compete. Here's the problem. If we go through with what might be a gambling utility in the state, then we should put it under the PSC. But there's no reason for competition. When you have other players in a gambling world, don't you have a reason to have the better band come in, or pay out the better slots or whatever, or have the nicer facility? And the, you know, they compete to have a better facility for you to come pay stupid tax and lose your money at. And then it gets nicer because of the competition. We'll see what we end up with this. This is interesting, though, here at the last minute, that they may be coming to an agreement on this. Thank you for a lot of birthday wishes. Pat had asked, he said, my dad listened to y'all when Katrina hit. That's how far back we go. Yeah, so that is, and that was an interesting time. I was with another radio station, Wayne and I were together, and I've always worked, I mean, I met Dan Brennan first during Hurricane George's, remember that? He and I met back then. I've always, you know, got the tap to work hurricanes at any station I worked at over the years. I don't know if that was good or bad. But I had to leave. I did not cover until 2 or 3 days later after Katrina because my daughter, who's now 18 years old, was born 6 weeks early with the pressure drop. I know the physicians have argued with me, but she came all of a sudden real fast that Sunday night. Katrina hit on a Monday. I remember it well. Sunday night, she was coming, and she was born on that Monday during Katrina. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce says he's been listening since it was Wayne and Sean. Love it. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you. Thomas in Irvington, he's been with us a long time, said Thomas from Irvington, said happy 15th birthday and wishing you at least 15 more. RTR. RTR to you, Thomas, for sure. Oh, yeah. So Sam has sent me this message, and Leanna's communicated this with me as well. It looks like, well, news alert, says Sam, the candy store in Tillman's Corner is no longer. The bulldozers are at work there now. How will we remember our history if we bulldoze it? Could it fall under the Antiquities Act? Maybe some of the people that work there could. Let's see. Buddy said the word I got was the at the office over shot spotter said it worked, but they wanted to blame the police department for not responding. Right. I just thought that was it. I'm not even using the ShotSpotter thing to like get somebody. I'm just a citizen. If it's our taxpayers' money going into it, did it work? Did it not work? Did we learn any lessons from this? Could it be done better? Brad said, who in the world would want that chief job? Look at the history. Since Cochran, the job has had about a 2 to 3 year shelf life. Terry saying, some little birds are telling me a lot of experienced Mobile police officers are looking to leave. They are leery of the direction the department may be going in. Terry, you know what that does? Scares the ever-living out of me. Because I've, in my time being around folks in law enforcement, something that's really stuck with me, and having friends that are in law enforcement and people that I just know that are in law enforcement, there's so much to be said for the institutional wisdom. You know, just like I want an old pilot. Pilot's been doing a long time. I want an older officer too. Police officer or deputy. I want them people who've been there. I know they have to. You have to get new people to get them to be older. But that institutional wisdom. I've watched such measured response from older officers. How they deal with situations, de-escalate. That they are a treasure. And if you're turning over police departments that quickly. We are losing a lot with that. Not anything against somebody new getting on the force. I want to make sure we have a fully staffed, but let's keep them there. Because the old cops I know and the old deputies I know, and maybe they're not old, they're my age now, but they're just really good at that job. They've been there, they've done that, they've seen it. They're very calm. They work situations so very well. That scares me, Terry. We need way more institutional wisdom to remain with our police department, sheriff's department, those places than too many young ones in on the mix. This texter says, Mr. Sergeant John Young for chief, mayor, and president. Well, we'll see. See if my friend wants to go into the world. Now, for president right now, today, I would run. John would beat either candidate, Biden or Trump. Oh, he'd have to get the world to know about him, but for sure. David Fairhope said the protests have begun at Fordham University per X, you know, so Twitter. So they're doing it there, okay? See how it works for him at Fordham. Let's see. Tim says, Sean, I don't understand what Stimson has to gain by staying mayor. I think he might take Brother Fred's advice and get out. The Gulf Coast Technology Center, Lasky, Barber are covering something up. It is a known fact that other cities were having problems with the ShotSpotter before the city ever decided to use it, and someone decided to implement it anyway without doing further research. Tim, I had heard that. I need to look back. I think Birmingham, right, Tim? And so Birmingham was pointed out to me that they had used ShotSpotter unsuccessfully or maybe not as successfully as they wanted. Rick says, apparently, Rick, I thought the same thing, but I think there, okay, Rick's text is, apparently the Mobile City Council does not support the First Amendment. So Rick, when that happened yesterday, I thought the same thing as you, man. But also there are certain rules with the council that you have to sign up beforehand to speak. And I think that's what went on. But I did, yeah, my first reaction, Rick, was like yours. Like I pointed out in the first hour, just because you're saying something I don't like doesn't mean you don't have the right to speak. But I think there's a procedure with city council that was violated, so it semantically they could have him. I don't know about having him removed, but they could stop him talking. Let's see here. This texter says, about a year ago, Batiste steps down from the Stimson administration. Now Prine is out. Makes me wonder which former chief will throw their hat into the 25 mayoral race. My money is on Batiste. Always enjoyed my conversations with him when he was chief and when he was public safety director. Let's see here. This texter says, it's Dan and Daphne. He said, I always tell tourists, visitors, etc., the beach is not to swim in the beach. Water is to play in waist to bottom of your rib cage, but don't start getting out there when you think you're going to swim like you do in a lake or pool, because it'll be the last thing you do. Yeah, when the conditions are bad. It has been something I've noticed over time, the amount of attention, and obviously because of the drama of it, but the amount of attention people pay to, there's sharks on the beach, right? I've made a living of making fun of those news reports. Because I've often asked, well, where else are the sharks supposed to be? The sharks are doing shark stuff, and that is in the Gulf of Mexico or way up the river sometimes. But the rip currents are the real killer. And people walk right past red flags and get in the water. If you had a flag up that says right now there's a shark eating people up and down this beach, then everybody'd stay out of the water. Can't we just do a little white lie for people? So there we go. Well, a lot more. Let's try. Okay, we're trying to get. Can we get some more of these in? Okay, we got a minute or so before the break. Adam says, Sean, I look forward to your show every day. I have to admit that I'm always disappointed when you have to run a best of show. One day it'll be out. I've had a best of kind of 18 months here. And not that it was best of, but there's been a lot of curveballs thrown my way. Thank you. Happy birthday from Mike. Pat said the sheriff's going to be looking real good real soon. I don't know. This texture said, would you say Stimson ran off Chief Prine in favor of Barber? If he did, that's expensive for all of us. I don't know that he did. I really am trying to be open-minded to get all sides of it. That's why I had the mayor in that week when I had Prine in. I invite both of them back in to talk about it. And I'm, like I said with Erica, I want what's best for the city of Mobile and what is best to get morale up in the police department going forward. That's what I'm for. Let's get that going. You know, let's get that going as soon as possible. That is important. We can sort the other stuff out. I don't want to not look at this, but Mayor's job is to make sure the city's running, right? So the things he has to do going forward, even if other entities are going to do the investigation, talk about that, the mayor's time is to bring morale up all over the city. And part of that is public safety. A big part of it is public safety. Now, Ben, that is not nice. Ben says on the text line, I heard the Birmingham ShotSpotter worked. It just got wore out from use. Happy birthday. Thank you, Ben, for the birthday laugh. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. As we celebrate the 15th birthday for this radio station, I also realize that my man Trey Bennett with 1-800-GOT-JUNK has been doing it for a year and so, maybe 2 years longer than us. Trey, are you 16th, 17th anniversary of getting rid of junk on both sides of the bay? Mobile, Baldwin County has been doing a great job, obviously, to be doing it that long. You can hear me tell you about it. I've had personal experiences, radio stations, several of us here have. Also, you can go look at the Google reviews. They give all the thumbs up and the stars to the service of 1-800-GOT-JUNK with Trey and the crew right here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And that takes a lot. You know, I've said it before. It's easy for people to go on and complain online. It takes a whole lot more for somebody to go take their time to say how great a service was. Go look at your friends and neighbors. They're saying that about 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you've got junk at the house, at your office, storage unit, anywhere, got junk, you want it gone. It could be little stuff, could be big stuff. Because that's one thing Trey always says. Remind folks, man, we get big stuff too. They do. I mean, they above ground pools and trampolines and storage buildings out of backyards, those kind of things they can handle as well. They can also clean out boxes from an attic or furniture for a house you're getting ready to sell or whatever. You got junk piled up somewhere, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And obviously, doing a great job of it, been doing all these years. So make your appointment and get it done today. Get the junk gone with my friend Trey. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And by the way, they do make actual appointments, like real good old-fashioned appointment, like where they find a day and a time during the day and they show up and you're there. I'm so sick of the, we'll be there sometime, you know, between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on a weekday. Something like that. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right, and by the way, too, I mentioned this earlier on this birthday. I asked for the birthday gift as voting is open now over at the Nappies, votenappies.com. It's vote for shows on the station. It's because we're competing against ourselves in so many categories, like the radio lifestyle show or segment, which is pretty darn cool. Out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in the, I guess six in each category, five of them are our shows. We completely dominate that category like we dominate a lot of the other ones where we're competing, our show hosts are competing against each other. I love it. Vote your heart, vote your, as long as it's for somebody who with FM Talk 106.5. But yeah, I mean, I saw that in the radio and lifestyle segment. Davey Litford's in the mix, Josh Knoll's in the mix, Plain Gardening with Bill Finch, whoop, whoop, is in the mix, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu in the mix. Also, What's Working with Cam Marston in the mix. All those just in one category. So please, vote daily. I think that's what you're allowed to do. Vote daily in that. Before we wrap up, too, just some show notes for show coming up tomorrow and Friday. By the way, Friday on the show, first time on this show, I know that she's been on with... been on with Jeff a whole lot, but pretty regularly, like every, I think every other week. Representative Jennifer Fidler is going to join me on Friday. She was one of the no votes on this gambling legislation in the House, right? So a lot of House votes were yes, and then we've got what they're going to do with it in the Senate. Jennifer Fidler was a no vote on both 151, the constitutional amendment, and 152, the enabling legislation. So I'd be interested to get her take here at the end of session, her no vote and why. We'll talk with her. And then coming up tomorrow as well, my buddy Ben Raines, I know he's a favorite here on the show. He's going to join us. Really neat thing coming his way. He is in the running. And he mentioned this, I think, last time he was in on the show with me that he's in the running for some grant money out there, and not just some grant money, some substantial grant money for a plan. He's one of the top 100 finalists for Elon Musk's $50 million X Prize for carbon sequestration. He's going to do it with oysters. He's going to do it with oysters. It's pretty darn cool. It's about the most local and well thought out thing, and I'm really, really excited for Ben. And hopefully you'll be able to hear more about that coming up on tomorrow's show. Plus, Dale Leach from Landnap will review what happened this week in the Mobile City Council and other stories out there. All right, as we wrap up, too, let's see the... Oh, somebody asking about... No, it did not... Okay, here's what happened on the gambling legislation. What has surprised many of us is we didn't think... We thought with the biggest... With the big differences between what came out of the House and then the Senate amendment sending it back out, thought those two sides were too far apart. They had put this conference together, right? So they took it out of the hands of the House and Senate, and they had a committee that had three House members, three Senate members that were looking at ironing things out. I didn't know they would be able to go so differently than what had been agreed in their each body, but it looks like they've come to something that is... Well, at least the House votes for it and likes it, and it was within one vote yesterday of passing the Senate. If they would have had that one extra vote yesterday in the Senate, this would be something going to Governor Ivey's desk. So they're that close to it from where they were when we talked to Senator Albritton a month and something ago, where he said the changes that they made in the Senate were substantial to what the House had passed. At that point, I thought, well, those two sides are too far apart. We'll go back through what we always do, and nothing will be done. And it's still not a sure bet that this will get done, but it is a lot closer here than it, I think it's ever been before. Even back when, 4 years ago, when Del Marsh brought his bill out of the Senate. A lot closer, I think, now. So we'll watch this. We'll be talking about it on tomorrow's show as well. All right, on the way out of here, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll be talking to you. And you can always check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. Go check out the Facebook page. Leanna always doing great work, and great work here on her birthday as well. FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook. Also check us out on, we're on Instagram. Yeah, how about that? And of course on Twitter at FM, or X, at FM Talk 106.5. All right, see y'all tomorrow. Bye.